breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller. Live from the loft at Tam O'Shanter, a Toledo sports leader. 106.5 The Ticket.
Now to Zuboff. A wrist shot. Broder, the save. Oh, an acrobatic save by Broder.
Face Off, the hockey show features the Red Wings, Walleye, Falcons, and high school hockey each week on the longest running specialty sports talk show in the area.
10 seconds of the game. The Devils are storming around the net, and they score! Peter Sikora, 18 seconds in.
Face Off, the hockey show is brought to you by
Tam O'Shanter, the place for hockey in Northwest Ohio.
It's still loose. Rebound, they score! Claude Lemieux on the backhand!
Now, let's go live to the loft at Tam O'Shanter. Here's 106.5 The Ticket's Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the loft restaurant. Glad to have you on board. Doubleheader here. Hockey show in our 18th season. On Drive Time, we had the color analyst of the Detroit Red Wings, Paul Woods, joined us. Red Wings, a 3-2 loss last night to Nashville. NHL trade deadline, of course, coming up on Monday. At 6:15 or so tonight, Adam Krug will join us. He's the head coach at Adrian College. They've won 15 straight, trying to make their way to Lake Placid, Division III national championship aspirations. And then at about 6:35 tonight, Matt Crandall will join us. Matt is our go-to guy, BCSN Toledo, when it comes to high school hockey, down to the District 4, St. Francis plays Findlay right here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter on Friday night. Then on Saturday night, Northview will take on St. John's. The winners play for the district championship. All right, everybody, joining us first, a familiar name, especially on Drive Time, but this show as well. Matt Mihalik joins us, a local guy out of Monroe that's played a lot of hockey over his long career and is from his youth to his college days. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time, number one. I guess my first question is, how old were you when you strapped on the pads for the first time?
That's been a fun topic of conversation over the last couple of days. I've been asked that question a lot, but I was about 6 years old, and it was when they opened the Monroe Multi-Sports Complex rink in Monroe, and the IceHawks needed a goaltender, and my brother kind of volunteered me to jump in the net, and that's how it all started.
That's a great story. And listen, I know you had a birthday in January. You were 25, so the rough math on this, you've been wearing goaltender pads for 19 years, and now all of a sudden your college career is over. You played, of course, in the OHL, the greatest amateur league in the world, with the Plymouth Whalers and Kingston and Youngstown, of course, as well prior to that, and then some college hockey up at the University of Prince Edward Island. What are you going to do without strapping on the pads, or what's the next jump in hockey for Matt Mihalik?
I think this is it in regards to hockey for me. But my next plan is I'm heading into the corporate world and going to work with Ally Financial, doing some automotive finance work there back in Detroit, Michigan. So I get to head back home after living on the road for the better part of 8 years or so, playing hockey and running down this stream, and I'm excited to head back home and settle down a little bit here. So.
Well, you know what, Matt? It'll always be good to see you. I know we're going to see more of you. Tell me about this career a little bit. Of course, you were drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes. We mentioned you're a goaltender. You went from the OHL into college hockey, and, I mean, I'm sure you got a ton of memories, but give us a couple here that stand out as you, again, shutting down a great amateur career.
Yeah, well, I had a great time even in minor hockey, just growing up playing for the IceHawks there in Monroe. So many great experiences and so many great people that I still am in touch with today from that organization. And it was it was really sad, and it's been a battle over the last few years to keep that rink alive, because I have so many memories there, and it did so much for me as a person. But it's sad to see that rink go. But then after that, I got the opportunity to play for CompuWare, AAA sports team. We won a Quebec World Championship. We got to compete for the national championships, on to Culver Academy. Once again, just some of the best people and, life lessons you can learn, at places like that when you're able to compete, at such a high level, not only at the rink, on the ice, but in the classroom, you know, just with your peers, it's an amazing experience, and, to go on to Youngstown and Plymouth and go through the USHL draft. I was fortunate enough to be a first overall pick in the USHL futures draft. Got to go to Youngstown as a young 16-year-old, and, going through the OHL draft as well was a phenomenal experience, and then ultimately to the NHL combine and NHL draft, where just some of those experiences and lessons I learned through that are going to definitely stick with me for my entire life and into my next chapter as I head out of hockey and into the rest of the world. So and then my final experience here with UPEI, you know, it's little known. I knew almost nothing about Canadian University hockey, or let alone, you know, the Atlantic University hockey division out here, even as a goaltender in Michigan. You know, you don't hear much about it, but I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to come out here and play and go to school. And I think it's a great option that doesn't get as much notoriety as it probably deserves. And I'm happy that I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do all of those great things. And you know, I have to thank, I have a long list of people I'd have to thank for that. And, you know, right at the top there has to be mom and dad. So, and everyone else, they'll get their thank yous one way or another, but I definitely don't have time to rattle them all off on the air with you.
No, you know what? I got to tell you, it's so apropos. You talk, again, Matt Mihalik joins us, a local Monroe, Michigan guy that went all the way through youth hockey, drafted the National Hockey League, went on to play university hockey. Jim Parker, who's been writing sports, by the way, for 40 years, I think, in Canada, he was well aware of your win over the University of New Brunswick. How do you like that? So I know it's over in PEI, and you say nobody knows about it, but Jim and I talked about it on a bus trip up to Barrie one night as well. But it's apropos, Matt, as we look out here and USA Hockey has the Learn to Play program here at Savannah Tam-O-Shanter. I'm coming to you from the Loft restaurant right now. It's just jam-packed with parents and grandparents watching these little guys, 5, 6, 7 years old, out there with the ice broken up in 3 different sections, learning the game. And you're exactly right, and I've been in it 40 years. It's the people you meet along the way. That's the real value in this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. You know, even down to the host families that you get to live with, and you know, the coaches you play with, it's a really special bond that you grow with people as you play this game.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're not only a first round draft choice in the United States Hockey League, you're a first round draft choice when it comes to being a great young man. Thanks for coming on, Matt. It sounds like I'm going to see a little more of you probably at the Superstore every now and then. And thanks for coming on. Congratulations on a great amateur career, and we'll touch base again sometime.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Mike. It's always a pleasure, and I'm going to miss having you chat.
Good stuff. Matt Mihalik, University of Prince Edward Island, via the OHL, via Youngstown, via Culver Academy. Great run, no doubt about it. All right, speaking of great runs, everybody, back with Adrian College's the Bulldogs there. Head coach Adam Krug, after this, they're on a great run. They've won 15 straight. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you from the Loft Restaurant here at Savannah Tamashin.
Face Off, the Hockey Show on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Loft Restaurant. Glad to have you on board. We've had a hockey-filled couple of hours here. Paul Woods of the Red Wings join us. A color analyst, former Red Wing player. Red Wings got beat last night, 3-2. Nashville NHL trade deadline is coming up, of course, on Monday. Red Wings home against Buffalo tomorrow. Matt Mihalik joined us. Haven't talked to Matt in quite a while. And Matt played 4 years in the OHL for the Plymouth Whalers and the Kingston Frontenacs, and played in the United States Hockey League, Culver Academy as well, and played college hockey 4 years at the University of Prince Edward Island, and played his last game. Said he strapped on the badge for the first time at 25 years of age. Now, joining us in about 10-15 minutes, Matt Crandall, BCSN Toledo. We're going to get a little rundown of the high school districts. Four teams left. St. Francis and Finley will play on Friday. Northview and St. John's will play on Saturday night. Jam-packed. A Loft Restaurant here at Savannah Tamashanner tonight. And the head coach of the Adrian Bulldogs, who have won 15 consecutive games, Adam Krug, joins us. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show, as always. I don't know how you got me on this lineup, you know, after Mihalik, Paul Woods, a couple of guys I know there.
Well, now, listen, we'll squeeze you in anytime. You win 15 consecutive hockey games. I got to get you on, number one. Tell me about that a little bit. What you guys doing right?
Oh, we figured out how to win some games, that's for sure. You know, they haven't all been perfect, and they rarely are. I mean, no matter what level you're at, the NHL, college, peewee, doesn't matter. They're rarely perfect, but, you know, we've got an older group of guys this year, and we've just figured out how to win games. And there's games when we go out and play to our potential, which is a lot of fun to watch, and there's other games where it just doesn't go your way for one reason or another, and we've got an old enough group, mature enough group to stay with the process and eventually scratch and claw one out, or whether it takes a good goaltending effort, it doesn't matter. We're a team, and at the end of the day, the only thing that matters for us is put another win in the win column.
You know, I got to tell you, and I say this, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I've done almost 20 or more than 2,500 broadcasts now, and I've only done one college game, and that was the game that I did when Adrian won a conference a title, and that building in Adrian was so much fun. You guys again win the Peters Cup, fourth year in a row. That's a Northern Collegiate Hockey Association regular season championships. 17-1 record there. You're battling for the Harris Cup right now as the number one seed. And I know you and I talked about this before, Adam, but it's a special place. It's a special college, and you got a special group there, and people love their hockey. Tell me about the game Saturday, number one, and the 15 straight wins. How have you, as a coach, make sure this carried over into the postseason, into the playoffs?
Yeah, this Saturday coming up, 2 o'clock start at home. Lake Forest College, who's a kind of a middle-of-the-pack team, have been for a long time in our conference, but they've got some ability, and they figured out a way to go, I think, like 15-10 this year in the regular season. So I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And for us, you know, to get into the playoffs, you know, that's never the final goal. But to get hot at the right time is certainly part of our process. And you know, we didn't necessarily care about the outcomes early on. I mean, you definitely want to get those wins. But for us, it's always been about getting a little bit better each time out. And we went through some struggles. Back in December, we lost 3 in a row, and it felt like the wheels were coming off. But all that really did was basically give the coaches, you know, an opportunity to coach. You know, when you win 10, 12, 13, 15 in a row, now there's days where it's hard to coach. You know, it's tough to grab the guys and say, listen, we're not doing this well enough. You know, you probably get a couple guys rolling their eyes at you and say, okay, coach, talk to me when we lose. But, you know, this group is a really good group, and they buy in and they listen. And, you know, so anyway, we go through that little stretch of 3 losses, and it gave us an opportunity to just kind of start over, you know, take a deep breath, look in the mirror as coaches and say, we haven't been coaching well enough, hard enough, doing enough homework, preparing our men the right way. And then it gave the leaders or captains a good opportunity to look at what they've been doing well and what they've been doing not so well, and ultimately that trickled into the core, the rest of the group of guys, and you know, it really just let us hit the reset button and be better all the way around, and we've been.
Adam Krug joins us, head coach, Adrian College Bulldogs. They're battling in the playoffs. You reminded me a little bit of Bill Belichick there. He pointed to the media about a month ago and says, hey, you guys are the enemy, reminding my players how good they are. It makes it tough for us to coach. You as a coach going through the same thing. Hey, we got to work at some thing, guys. And back of their mind going, what do you mean? We've won 15 straight games. Now, that is not, again, always an easy thing to do. Speaking of which, Adam Krug, going into Saturday's game and the 15 wins, is there something out there that you paid more attention to this week?
You know, we played this team twice in the last month or so, and we beat them at home. I think it was like 5-6-1 or 5-2 or something like that. And then we went to their building a couple weeks ago and kind of let them off the hook. We didn't have a great game. Our goaltender, Kevin Entma, junior, a lot of experience. He backstopped us back there and kind of kept us in it when we needed him to. And we took a 1-1 lead, 1-1 tie into the third period and ultimately, scored a power play goal to bail us out and win 2-1. So I think the message has kind of been to, you know, remember that we gave them a little bit of hope. A lot of teams don't like to come into our building. Arrington Ice Arena, as you mentioned, is a tough place to play, and we're generally pretty good there. You know, actually we haven't lost a game at home all year, knock on wood there, but, you know, it's a place teams don't like to come. And unfortunately that game a few weeks ago, we kind of gave them a glimmer of hope. So I think what we need to do is make sure our details are in order and, you know, just really from the puck drop right on through to the final buzzer, we got to play a solid game.
Hey, you know, I look at your schedule here and some of the results, you beat some pretty good teams. Top 10 teams in Trinity and Utica and St. Norbert. So, you know, this record that you've compiled, it's not against teams that, you know, have struggled. I mean, all teams go through struggle. I'm not trying to paint a negative picture of some of your opponents. But you know what? You knock off three top 10 teams. I mean, that shows your guys are ready and appreciate the competition and the level of play.
Yeah, we had some easier games maybe the first half of the season. Then we went into Christmas break, kind of a sour note, you know, losing to a couple of ranked teams. And we just, again, it comes back that we had to be better, and we figured out a way to commit to being better, and we've been better. And to play those top ranked teams, you know, those top 10 teams, you know, you're going to get a great opponent, and, it's a lot of fun too, but to be able to perform on the big stage is good for our guys to know they can do that.
Adam, you touched a little bit on your game Saturday against Lake Forest. If you had to describe that team and give me some of their DNA, what are you going to see on Saturday?
Effort. You know, they're an effort-based bunch. You know, they play hard. Not overly physical. They've got some ability. They've got some guys that can skate. Pretty decent power play. You know, I think we're just going to get an honest team in here. You know, they're not going to come in and do anything crazy special. You know, they're not going to sit back on their heels either and take it on the chin. They're not going to trap. I think they're going to come in, just look to maybe pop us in the mouth. I think that last time we played them, they did a really good job of slowing our game down, you know, kind of a north-south game. You know, they clogged up the neutral zone. So I think they're going to probably try to do that a little bit. They want to keep the game low scoring. You know, it definitely goes in our favor if we end up scoring 3, 4, 5 goals. You know, so I definitely think we're going to get a defensive effort from them, and we're going to have to do our best to get to the middle of the rink and play hard and make them, you know, kind of match what we want to do.
2 o'clock faceoff Saturday up at the Arrington against Lake Forest. Tickets still available?
Yeah, there's some. You know, online at adrianbulldogs.com, we got some tickets available. You know, and standing room will definitely be available. You know, those are walk up. I think those will, go on sale about 12:30 in the lobby. So it'll be a packed house. Should be a lot of fun, but there are, as of this afternoon, there's about 40 or 50 seats still available. And then again, like I said, the walk up will be available about 12:30.
Hey, one more time here. Friday, we're going to have one of your players on. Who's that going to be?
Yeah, Taylor McCloy. This kid has just been the heartbeat of our team for probably the last year and a half now. You know, blue collar, works his butt off, best penalty killer in the country. I think he's tied, or he may have broke our record for most shorthanded goals in a career. That's the type of player he is. You know, he's blue collar. He's going to be physical, but he's got tremendous ability to play an offensive game too. And he's on our top line with two other seniors. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Good stuff, Adam. Good luck. Thanks for coming on, and we'll be watching Saturday as well. I was just telling Jim, our producer here, looking at my schedule and some other things scheduled here at the station. We got to get you guys back on the air here. If not this year, we should talk. It's a great hockey story in a great hockey community. You know, southwest of a place they call Hockey Town. You got the walleye here, put 8,000 in a night. Always room for the Adrian Bulldogs as well. So let's stay in touch. I look forward to talking to Taylor on Friday. And if you and I don't talk again, good luck on Saturday for sure.
Thanks, Mike. We will hook up this spring and summer.
Very good. Adam Krug, head coach of the Adrian Bulldogs, and they are ranked number one in the West region. They're the regular season champions, the Peters Cup. They're in the playoffs against Lake Forest. What a program. Adrian Bulldogs hockey. Little high school hockey right around the corner with Matt Crandall after this. My name's Mike Miller. This is Face Off, the hockey show coming to you from Sylvania Tamashama.
It's Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Face Off, the hockey show. The Loft Restaurant, high above the TAS Electronics, ranked number one as the Learn to Play program continues right down below us. Very popular. Visit TamoHockey.com. Next session will be session number three. That gets underway April the 4th. Also a note, 2018 Buckeye Broadband Spring League. As always, visit TamoHockey.com for more information there. Also get a hold of Mark Waddell here at Sylvania Tamashanner. He can tell you more about that. Ice times on Tuesday and Saturday, and Mondays and Saturdays, Wednesdays and Sunday, Friday, Sunday. That's tentative. Mark Waddell. Visit him online at mark@sylvaniatamashanner.com or visit tamohockey.com. And how about this one? Zamboni School. Crank one up on April the 7th from 10 to 12:30. Second class is April the 21st, 10 to 12:30. Third class, May the 2nd, 10 to 12:30. Zamboni School here at Sylvania Tamashanner. Again, glad to have you on board. And a lot of hockey tonight. Paul Woods joined us, a longtime color analyst for the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Red Wings Radio Network. Of course, the NHL trade deadline is on Monday. Also joining us was the head coach of the Adrian Bulldogs. They've won 15 straight. They're in the playoffs. They are ranked number one, trying to win a Division III championship. Adam Krug joined us. And also Matt Mihalik, who played 4 years in the OHL as a netminder, drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes, just finished his Canadian college university career, said he strapped on the pads at 6 and at 25. He is done, getting ready to get into the business world. So a lot of hockey, and it continues here on Face Off, the hockey show. Matt Crandall joins us. He is our go-to guy when it comes to high school hockey. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Doing very well tonight, Mike. It's been a great show. Thanks for having me on.
No, appreciate it. Great hearing your voice. Listen, last time I had John, I said any upsets in the making here? Well, not really. Of course, a number one seed beats a 10, a 4 beats a 6, a 2 beats a 5, a 3 beats a 7, 10 beats 11, 6 beats 9, 7 beats 8. So none of the higher seeds yet have been able to win a hockey game, I guess, which Matt Crandall leads to the most obvious question. Who has a chance to knock off St. Francis?
Well, everything's gone to script so far. The next opportunity to knock St. Francis off would be Finley. I don't know if they can do it. The best effort they had in three tries this year was a 3-0 loss, but Finley is playing very well, especially a guy named Keaton Ryder, who's coming off of a hat trick against Anthony Wayne. So Finley would be the next opportunity, Mike. And we mentioned it last week in 2010. It was a number 4 seed Finley that knocked off a number 1 seed St. Francis. That was 3-2 in overtime. It would have to be that type of a game, and Finley would have to get a real good goaltending effort from Storm Woodward for Finley to do it. I don't know if they can. I think St. Francis might be on their way to a 4th trip in a row down to Columbus.
Then on Saturday, that is Matt Crandall joins us here in Face Off, a hockey show. 18th here, Northview taking on St. John's. Again, Saturday at 7. St. Francis Finley, by the way, is Friday night at 7. Team you're close to with a son and a daughter on that team. The number 2 seed at Northview taking on St. John's. Give me a thumbnail sketch preview of that one on Saturday night.
You're right. Friday is the first one. Saturday for the second, Northview St. John's. Both TAS Electronics, Rink 1. Should be great crowds there. Northview and St. John's, they played twice this year. It was a 1-0 win for Northview in the final minutes of the first game. The second game was a 3-2 St. John's win, and great goaltending battles in both. Cole Kessner for St. John's, who has been outstanding this year, and Mason Snyder for Sylvania Northview, who seems to be warming up at the right time. The question is, Mike, is Cole Kessner going to be 100%? I expect him to play, but he was out sick last week and missed that game against Southview, a 6-2 St. John's win. So the question mark coming in on that game Saturday would be, is Cole Kessner 100% for St. John? I believe he'll be there. I don't know if he'll be 100%, but even Cole Kessner at 95%. It's a real good goaltending situation for the St. John's Titans.
A lot of teams at all levels, believe me, battling some of these bugs that are going on as well. Any other observations from, well, St. Francis, Maumee, Finley and Anthony Wayne, Northview, and, of course, Bowling Green, and St. John's and Southview? Anything else about those games? Maybe the teams that didn't advance, any of those clubs, Matt Campbell, you think making progress into the future?
There's no doubt about it. Maumee, it was great to see them back this year, and they got the 5-3 win against Whitmer in the first round, but had to go up against the number 1 St. Francis. That was a tough draw for them there. Southview and Clay was a great first round matchup. It went to overtime, but some exciting stuff going on at the Ice House this weekend too, Mike. We have the White Division playoffs going on at the Ice House. It's going to be Anthony Wayne versus Clay Saturday night. Perrysburg versus Southview on Friday. The winner's going to play each other on Sunday night, the White Division playoffs. So four great teams remaining in the White. Although their district hopes have been dashed, they still have a chance to win the White Division playoffs. That should be exciting stuff there. Those are four very exciting teams, and the White Division was up for grabs this year. Anthony Wayne won it for the second year in a row, but it wasn't easy for him.
Great stuff, Matt. Thanks for that update as well. Hey, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I mean, the only thing we missed is the action, because it seems to have gone to script so far, which is kind of scary because I don't know if we can go the whole district without an upset. So maybe it could be Finley. Maybe it could be St. John's. That 2-3 seed seems to be the one everyone's looking at, but don't discount the Finley Trojans either.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate your update, and great hearing your voice. Maybe we'll do it again next week after the districts and get your thoughts on the state.
We'll do it again for sure after the Sylvania District qualifier wins the states. How does that sound?
No, I like it. I'm looking at some banners right over here to my radio right at the TAS Electronics rink number 1. Good stuff, Matt. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike.
Matt Crandall and our high school hockey update. Districts continue. Here at Sylvania, Tamas Shanner. This is Face Off, the hockey show. Back with more after this.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, a little Zeppelin for you. Like that. A little Plant, a little Page, a little Bonham, a little John Paul Jones. This is Face Off, the hockey show in its 18th year. Learn to Play program going on right down below us. Another session coming up not too far down the road. Visit tamohockey.com. Loft is jam-packed. Great crowd on the ice. Great to have you on board. Had quite a day. Paul Woods of the Detroit Red Wings joined us at 5:15 tonight. Matt Mihalik, a local goaltender, drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes, finishing his amateur career as well. Adam Krug, the head coach of the Adrian Bulldogs, they've won 15 straight. They're trying to win a Division III national championship at Lake Placid. And Matt Campbell gave us an update, by the way, on the high school districts, which, of course, take place here this weekend at Sylvania-Tamashanner. Friday game, St. Francis taking on Findlay at 7. Saturday night, Northview taking on St. John's at 7 o'clock. Talking to Paul Woods and the Red Wings, here's a situation. Columbus right now is in that number 2 hole in the wild card in the Eastern Conference of the NHL. Columbus has got 65 points. Detroit's got 57 points. That is a spread of 8 points. Detroit's played 59. Columbus has played 60. So Detroit has a game in hand. The team with the most games in hand, the Florida Panthers, they have 58 points. But Detroit, not only do they have to win, they're going to have to catapult the Rangers. But the Rangers have already sent emails out to all their season ticket holders and basically said, we're blowing this team up. So don't be irritated. Don't be alarmed when it happens. This is the direction management will go. So whether you throw the Rangers, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to lose games. I mean, they might get guys there from the American Hockey League going, you know what? The blow-up is in full force. Now it's my turn to play. So you, just because a team says they're going to trade their high-paid stars and their older guys off the contending teams, doesn't mean the Rangers aren't going to compete. But the Islanders ahead of the Red Wings, the Rangers, Florida, Carolina, they're all chasing Columbus at number 2 team in the wild card. That is certainly a situation that it's going to be an uphill battle for Detroit. Ken Holland says they need 90 points in the standings. The Red Wings have 23 games remaining. That is a total of 46 points, and right now they have 57. So the Red Wings are going to need, quick math here, another 33 points in 46 games. That is not an easy task for the Detroit Red Wings. Not in 46 games, 23 games. So what are you looking at here? You're looking at about 16 wins maybe for the Detroit Red Wings to get in. But that's not the hard part. The hard point is the other four teams got to go south. So it's not always what you need. It's who you're chasing, and you start this scoreboard watching. And again, Ken Holland said, we are open for business. And I think Paul Woods made some tremendous points on the direction the Red Wings are going and some of the progress, again, by Athanasiou and Larkin and Mantha. And I like what he said, and I agree. This is a Detroit team that's better than they were last year. Jeff Blashill seems to be under a lot of heat. Paul Woods, and I don't think he was taking the company line here, said, no, this is a club that plays hard. The younger players are getting better. Jeff Blashill isn't a guy that's going to, look like he panics every time, they lose a hockey game, and they've lost some tough ones. When you start coughing up leads in the third period, you look at the records of NHL teams, it's really not a great thing for marketing. I mean, it's the same way in the OHL. When I do my prep work, one of the stats you'll see from the league is, what is a team's record after leading after two periods of play? Most teams are 20-1, 18-1. Same thing in the National Hockey League. You got to lead after two. It's about 95% that you're going to win the game. That doesn't make for a lot of drama, but the Red Wings on the other side of the coin have been a team that have coughed up some leads late in the game. It's cost them points. I mean, they realistically here should have another 4 or 5 points in the standings, which would get them to 62. Now they're only 3 points behind Columbus, hence Paul Woods basically saying they're close, but you got to learn how to close out games. You hear that in all sports, baseball, the NFL, the NBA, closing out games, and this Detroit team right now pretty darn young, and they are really. That's one thing they're going to have to work on. You play hard, your intensity level's good, you're ready to play, but you got to close it out. and the Detroit Red Wings have not done that. All right, everybody, again, want to thank all of our guests today. Paul Woods of the Red Wings, Matt Markey on Drive Time, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor, goaltender Matt Mahalik, Adam Krug, coach of the Adrian Bulldogs hockey team, Matt Crandall, talk some high school sports as well, district finals, or district semifinals, rather, here this weekend at Savinia Tamashanner. Cush was with us back at the studios. Good job, Jimmy. Mike Miller from Savinia Tamashanner saying good night, everybody.